Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody here. So, perhaps it's sad that there's a few faces that are missing, and those, in the same way that we're glad of those to say hello to you all, we think of those that haven't been able to make it. Great good news, great joy. It is obviously words that David read for us as to what the angel said to the shepherds. There in verse 10, the angels said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." That's good tidings of great joy, as David read is using the ESV. Was good news, great joy. And that's exactly what there was. Looking around the room, I think we can say that in one way or another, nearly every one of us has seen and has felt that joy in the birth of a child. And here we have this picture of the angels coming and telling the shepherds, and the results that, yes, the shepherds go off, but that first thing that happened were perhaps always. I feel as if it's almost as if the angels couldn't contain themselves any longer. They'd passed on the news that there had been this birth, that their God had had a son. And there was suddenly this great multitude of angels there in the heavens, praising God, giving thanks for the birth of this little boy. And saying, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." They sang this song to let the shepherds know that it wasn't just something for them, but it was for others as well. This news was to go to others. And so, well, the shepherds, they didn't just stay seated where they were. They didn't just sort of sat around the campfire, perhaps. Stay. There and then, they were up. And they were on their way to go into Bethlehem to find out as to whether it was true, what they'd been told. They checked and they searched out for the facts. And having found out, well, they then started telling other people. Because verse 18 says, "All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The shepherds went out and spread the word so that more would hear. The angels continued with the duties that the Lord God gave them. But as great a time as it was at this point, as great a rejoicing that they had we think it must have been the opposite when the day came and the Lord Jesus was crucified. But then, how much more they must have, some were not told, at the resurrection. That now this good news wasn't of a baby coming to the world, but was the resurrection of the Saviour of the world. How much more joyful they must have been with those events. Because you see, it's not the only times that the angels have sung, or will sing, or sing or shout for joy. First time that it happened was right back at the start of the scriptures. But we're not going there. We're going to Job. Job chapter 38. Job had been cast down because of the events that had happened to him. And it comes to a point in chapter 38, verse 1, "The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." God finally speaks to Job. It says, verse 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." At that time too, the angels rejoiced. Because once more, there was an occasion where they were able to see the outworking of God's plan. There in the creation at the start. There in the foundations of the very foundations of the world. And the sons of God, the angels, shouted for joy. They gave thanks and rejoiced for what God was doing for them and for the few who were perhaps populating the earth at that time when that happened. But as with that point at the start, they also gave voice, or will also give voice, much later, at the finish, the end of the world as we know it's in the setting up of the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 7. He came, took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of the saints. But then what happens? They sing a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed to us by redeemed us to God by thy blood, and every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And John watched, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Yes, the angels will sing again at a time in the future. But even at that point, we see the angels there, but notice there's also another group, the saints. Those who are chosen, and it was a few weeks back, wasn't it, that Alan, if I may just sort of crib what you said at the time, showed us that it's not, when it talks of saints, it's not people that the church and that humans have decided would be given that title. But the saints are those chosen by God, because they have accepted him and have accepted his Son, the Lord Jesus, the one for whom we think and recall the angels rejoicing for now. But those can be you. Those can be you. And that's a wonderful offer and privilege that can be given. But there are many other occasions over the years where the angels sing or rejoice, where there is joy. Go back to chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke. Luke 15. Look at verse 7. I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking to those around him. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a lamp or a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she's found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Yes, each time a sinner repents, there is joy. The angels, those in heaven, angels and God, because that person has acknowledged error of their ways, and they've made the conscious decision to turn to God and to follow his will. Most public of that, of course, is in baptism. But I think it's not just a one-off thing for baptism. It's not just then. It's not. It didn't happen yesterday, five times over, because. So I found out as I made a phone call last night, and just happened to be up, make a call. Person on the other end of the line said, I've been to five baptisms today. Five baptisms in a day. I hastily added that they were all in one place. It wasn't five different venues, but it was five. And elsewhere there will be another two this coming Saturday. So the angels will again repent. But that's not the only time. That's the public confession time. That's when you say, yes, I realise I'm the sinner. I'm not the one that the righteous or the just one that needs no repentance. I'm not that. I'm the sinner. And that we should each be doing each and every day, shouldn't we? But there is that other aspect as well of, as we say, of baptism. And for those who it, for whom it actually is appropriate, can't do anything but urge them to consider their own life and consider what they should be doing. But for those of us actually in this room now, as we say, it's not just a one-off thing. It's something we should be doing at all times. Because we don't put ourselves, you know, be baptized and then that's it. Everything is wonderful. We become perfect. We don't. We still have our flaws. And we still need to acknowledge them and ask for forgiveness of them. It was the Roman Ecclesia that looked on it in a different way. And Paul had to write and to say, didn't he, in the words, the sixth chapter, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, no. The idea is to that we should be ensuring that we keep out of the sin as much as possible, so that the grace that we receive will still be sufficient, but doesn't have to cover as many things as what some would actually argue as it does. And so we think of, again, of these angels. They came, they sang God's praises at the completion of creation. They sang them again at the time of the new creation of the Son, of the birth of the Son of God. They sing regularly, daily, as human beings acknowledge that they are going wrong, that they've done wrong, and they turn and to God and try to follow his will. But the most wonderful one is that time when they will sing again at the time of the setting up of the kingdom. And as we read our scripture, as we go through and read of that time now, in the daily readings, in the reading of Revelation, then let us look forward and become determined that we will follow the examples that we have been given, so that we may be one of those there in Revelation chapter 5 that we've already read of. One of those saints that rejoices, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honour. And let us, as we think, as we look ahead, let us pray that that day is going to be soon.